worship and praise unto our great God. And our God is great this morning. So good to see everybody here today. It's especially good to have Cleo with us here this morning, Roxanne's visitor. Glad that you are here with your two boys. You two boys, is that right? All right. What are their names? Braden and Ricky. All right. We're glad to have them here. Amen. God's good to us. Have you had a blessed week this week? Amen. My week has been blessed. I'm thankful for all the good things. Amen. I want to focus on the good things. Because there's a lot of good around. Amen. It's not all bad. There's a lot of good going around. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the Word of the Lord this morning for a little bit. And I want us to go to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Y'all don't have to leave just because I'm up here. They didn't even hear me. Have you ever been at that place where you talk and talk and nobody's listening? Amen. No, you're listening this morning. I know you are. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Everybody said, rebuked. He rebuked. Amen. I want to preach just a little bit this morning about his rebuke. And before you judge this message, listen carefully to what we're talking about and what we're trying to bring across here this morning, because there are some things that the Lord rebukes, and it's for the benefit of his people. Praise God. Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for truth. Thank you for your anointing that's in this place. I pray your hand upon us this morning and give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. So good to be here on Sunday morning. When we talk about the word rebuke here, it means to admonish or to check or to restrain, to limit or to confine or to restrain within a certain boundary. Amen. And with that in mind this morning, there are many things that will come against us in life. There are many things that come from different angles, from different directions. And I'm sure everybody here this morning has come up against a wall, has come up against a hindrance, or come up against an obstacle. It's just the way things are in life, and we need to recognize that we're going to have to face some things as we live in this world. Somebody said amen. And you may be facing some obstacles or hindrances. You may be facing a wall that doesn't have a door or a window in it. Amen. But I want you to know God is able to do anything. Amen. And he loves his people. It's really the very nature of this life. The book of Job, and you don't have to turn there this morning, but Job said, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And it's just the nature of this world. God did not make this world a perfect place, but the Bible says he made it good. And so there is a lot of good in this world. He didn't make it all bad, and he did not put us in a place where everything would be bad. Amen. But there is some good. If we just take the time to look and see the good that's around us. Amen. And so we could add to this the spiritual life that we're living. And we would add to that the enemy. And actually, if you are living for God, or even if you're not living for God, you're going to face the forces of hell that will come against you. Amen. It's the devil's job to hinder people and to cause them to be lost for eternity. The great news this morning is that we serve a God that hinders. Amen. We serve a God that rebukes this morning for the sake of his people. We are not doomed, and somebody needs to say amen to that this morning. You need to say amen to that in the face of the enemy that's come against you, and make a declaration today, not a declaration that everything's going to go down, but a declaration that God is with us and God will help us. Amen. Well, praise God. Because it is the absolute truth this morning. And we're not doomed, as I've already said, but God can hinder anything and he can stop it. When we look at the rebuke that God has for his people, or to help his people, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 23 gives us a little bit here to consider. Matthew 8 and verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And so there are times that we're going to face the physical forces of this world, things that just seemingly come out of nowhere. And insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And just because he was asleep doesn't mean that he doesn't know what's going on. Praise God. Because we know that the God that was in him, the God that was in Christ, does not slumber nor sleep. Amen. But he was God manifest in the flesh. The flesh was asleep, but the Spirit of God that was in him without measure was not asleep. And that's what we need to understand today, is that there is a God within us. If you have the Holy Ghost this morning, praise God, there is a power inside of you that will rebuke anything that will come against you in the physical. Praise God. I believe that with all of my heart this morning. I've seen it many, many times. And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Is there anybody here this morning that needs a great calm in your life? Amen. Well, praise God. I'm sure everybody's all set this morning. And everything's just going wonderful. Well, just hang in there. There's going to be a day and a time when you need to pray for the peace and the calmness of God in your life. Right. Amen. Amen. You can say amen this morning because I'm sure you've been through that. And he rebuked the winds and the sea. In other words, according to the definition, he limited the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. He restrained them. He put them within a certain boundary limit that they were not able to go past. Praise God. Now think about the power that it took to do that. The winds and the waves. The waves are the result of the winds. And the winds are a result of the force of the sun that shines upon the earth. And it will heat up one area more than another area. And so you have a high pressure and a low pressure. And the winds will move to try to compensate for those differences in pressure. And so literally the winds and the sea, the winds and the waves, I guess I should say, that beat against the ship, that covered the ship with the waves, that's some pretty good size waves, were a result of the physical forces of this world. And there are things that happen in life that are related to the physical. And sometimes we need to consider that the Lord helps us in areas where we cannot help ourselves. I can't stop the sun. Now, I know that in the Old Testament, Joshua looked up in the sky and said, "Sun, stand still." But it wasn't Joshua that did that. It was the Lord that did that. Amen. It is nothing to God. It is nothing to God. I read just yesterday that they have a picture of a supernova, which is a star that exploded. And they said the brightness, they actually have on picture just a picture of the star, and then the star got bright and then it went dim in about 9 hours' time. And they said that the brightness of that supernova was literally billions of times brighter than the brightness of our sun. Amen. That is the light that comes from God. In Him is light, and the light was the life of men. Praise God. And so it is nothing to the Lord to stop the wind and the waves, or to stop or to limit the boundary of the sun, to limit the boundary of the waves and the wind, for my God is able to do anything. Praise God. But there are times when we need to do our part. In Psalm chapter 106 and verse 7, if you would like to turn there with me this morning. Thank God for Sunday school this morning. Psalm 106 and verse 7, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so that he led them through the depths as through the wilderness." Praise God. Amen. What a miracle that was. I don't know. I think 1 gallon of water weighs about 8 pounds from what I've read. And I don't know how many billions of gallons of water had to be pushed aside and held there by the mighty hand of God. You know, there are times that we face physical forces. There are times. I remember we had revival services here many, many years ago, and there were the old pews down in the sanctuary. Actually, it was the pews that are on the side. They were in the middle, and we had an aisle down the middle. Well, over on this side over here, somewhere where Brother Keith is sitting, there was a young man that came, and his mother came with him, and he had done something to break his arm. And, you know, there are times that things that come against us are not God, and they're not the devil, they're just life. Amen. And somehow or another, he fell and broke his arm or whatever happened, and he came to that night of revival service and had a cast on his arm, and we went back and prayed for him. It wasn't such a dynamic service that we would think that healing would come in, but we prayed for this young man. He's not here this morning because he forgot the great mighty hand of God upon his life. And we prayed for that broken arm. And the next day he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, "This arm is completely healed," and they took the cast off. Praise God. I've told that story many times, and but it's an absolute truth. I remember my pastor, Brother Stanford, when he was younger and he lived in Portales, New Mexico, just a young boy, and his mother was a woman of faith, and she believed God could help her in anything. And that's what we really need more than anything, is a walk of faith to believe that God can do anything. Can your God do anything this morning? Well, praise God. Some folks don't believe that. They believe that other people and circumstances are more powerful than God, but they aren't. And I remember him telling the story that he broke an arm, and it was in a cast, and they had a church service, and I guess the church that they attended there in Portales, kind of out in the desert almost, and it wasn't a dynamic church, it wasn't a revival church, but it was a truth-preaching church. Amen. And I'm telling you, God can move anywhere, anytime. And so, because his arm was broken, she said, "We believe that God can heal," and she brought him up to the front and had the pastor pray for him. And when the pastor was done praying for him, she said, "All right, let's take the cast off." God's healed him. And I can feel right now what some of you are thinking. You would never, ever attempt to do that. We're going to go get an x-ray and make sure. But in those days, they didn't have probably that luxury to do that. And so they did. They cut the cast off. And lo and behold, his arm was completely healed. Praise God. God's able to do anything this morning. And if you're facing physical problems, then God is able. And I remember him telling the story that he broke his other arm. You know how boys are. Praise God. He went ahead and just broke the other one. And the doctor was going to put a cast on it, and he remembers telling his mother, "Mother, why put the cast on there? Let's just pray." And they prayed, and God healed that arm. Praise God. Well, praise God. I don't know if that excites you, but it excites me that my God can do anything. Amen. He was taken to the doctor because he was having trouble breathing. He had quite a growing up time. And the doctor said he has pneumonia. And back in those days, and maybe they still call it that today, I don't know. But back in those days, they called it double dust pneumonia. And there was pneumonia in both of his lungs. And the doctor said, "Your lungs are scarred, and you're not going to be the same after this." Well, mom went to her knees and started praying. Thank God for a praying mother. Amen. I know all the mothers here, you pray for your children. And all the dads that are here, I pray for my children every day. If I think about it, almost every day I call their name out in prayer. You know what? Prayer works. Amen. And so they prayed for him, and they took x-rays of the lungs. The pneumonia was gone, and there was some scar tissue there. And when he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, he went out for basketball in the high school, and he went for the physical beforehand, and the doctor said, "You can't play because your lungs are scarred." And he just went ahead and played anyhow because God touched the scars. Amen. And he had broken both of his arms, and the doctor said, "Move your arm this way." He moved it that way, and the doctor said, "You're not supposed to be able to do that." And he said, "Do this with your arm." And he moved his arm another way, and the doctor said, "You're not supposed to be able to do that." So he went ahead and signed up for basketball. Praise God. I'm telling you what, this morning, God can do anything in the realm of the physical. But there's another area of life that we need to consider this morning, and that is the spiritual forces of life. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33, it says, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil." They're all unclean, but this one was really unclean. And he was there in the synagogue. And verse 9 through 11, We see that Jesus overcame the devil. So whenever the devil shows up to the synagogue or to the church, we don't have to worry about it because our God is in control today. Go back to verse 9 of chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. This is Satan speaking to Jesus. If thou wilt fall down and worship me, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And so when Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, he was literally rebuking him. And what we need more than anything in these days is for the Lord to rebuke the work of Satan in this earth. Now, whether you realize it or not, Satan is working in this world over time. And just the text message from Brother Smith verifies that worldwide people are starving, people are hurting, that there is so much oppression in our world today. But God is able. Somebody said, God is able. God is able today. And Luke chapter 4, I mentioned that. Let's go back to verse 33, and I want to read down through verse 36. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And so the devil proclaims these things. And Jesus rebuked him. Everybody said he rebuked him. He set him within a certain boundary limit. Jesus said, you're only going so far, and this is it for you. And he rebuked him and said, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Praise God. Amen. Whatever you're facing today, if there is a spiritual attack against you, I want you to know this morning, Jesus has the answer for all of your spiritual needs. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. It says here, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. Everybody said she was bowed together. Bowed together and in no wise lift up herself. We saw someone here a few days ago, an elderly lady, obviously with a spinal problem, and she was literally bowed over and could not lift herself up. And I felt so sorry for her when I saw this, but this woman was bowed over, could not lift herself up. And what it was not a physical thing in this particular situation, but it was a spiritual thing. It was an unclean spirit. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. This woman, if you look at another place in the scripture, it was a demon spirit that had caused her to be this way. Amen. I remember one time, and I'm not trying to be super spiritual here this morning, but I remember one time that I was so oppressed by the enemy, and I couldn't sleep at night, and I got up this particular night in the living room, and I was praying, I was weeping, I was calling out to God, And all of a sudden there was an attack of the devil upon me, and it was, I really couldn't see them physically, but spiritually I could see those enemy, the spiritual demons of hell swooping down, and as they passed by, I could hear them shouting at me, you're going to die, there's no hope for you. And it was literally, even to this day, the coldest feeling that I've ever felt in my life, and total fear engulfed my spirit and my heart. And for just a little bit, I gave in to that. But folks, I want you to know you cannot give in to these things. Amen. I've learned that from experience. You cannot give in to them, because the Lord rebukes the devil when he comes against God's children. And finally, after suffering through that, I got a hold of myself and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I had no more said those words than the air cleared and there was no more oppression. And I went to bed and went to sleep and got up the next day and went through my day. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes we give too much credit to the devil. We can't give him any credit, because he is set within a certain limit and a certain boundary. And when the Lord rebukes him, amen, it's over. There are times when monetary things come against us. I've talked about the physical world, but now we're living in a world where everything operates by money. Somebody said money. Money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Somebody said one time, I need more root. Amen. Well, praise God. Y'all need to just smile a little bit this morning. It'll be all right. Amen. And the scripture tells us here in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, I want you to see this. Chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, I'm losing some of you already here this morning. But he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, notice here, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Amen. There is a tremendous blessing in giving of your tithes and your offering. And those of you that are involved in that can say amen this morning. Well, that was kind of weak. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, there is a blessing. There is a tremendous blessing, because the Lord rebukes the devourer. Amen. He will set the devourer within a certain boundary or a certain limitation. Praise God. And there's many things that come against us in life, many financial, monetary, physical things along these lines that come against us. And the Lord has made us a promise here that he would rebuke this. Amen. And I believe this morning that he wants us all to be blessed, so that we can be an example to the world of what it means to live for God. I know that many of us, when we came to God, we were poorer than Job's turkey, amen, and didn't have two nickels to rub together, praise God. Well, it's not that way with most of us here this morning, amen, because you have gotten involved in God's financial blessing plan. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9. Look at what the Lord wants to do for us. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And so what we can see at the beginning of these scriptures here is that we must do our part. God will do his part, but we must do our part. And when we do our part and we lean on the promise of God, we can remind God that we have been faithful. Amen. We can claim the promise of God, and we can be blessed. Amen. And so we must do our part. We usually get into trouble when we make mistakes and we do things that are outside the boundaries of order when it comes to finances and it comes to monetary things. Now notice next verse, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous. Somebody said plenteous. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain upon thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend. Notice here, thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after God, go after other gods, to serve them. Amen. I'm sure if we were to take the time here this morning of financial miracles that have taken place, whether it was when you started living for the Lord, or maybe it's been just this last week, but my God is a miracle-working God this morning, and he can help us in financial things. The problem comes when we don't do our part. Amen. And, you know, you might be able to get away with it, but there's going to be a day of reckoning coming for all of us, a day when we're going to give an account of the things that we have done in this life. And the Bible says that the books are going to be open. I don't know if that's going to be like a CPA book. I don't know. But it is the will of God that we give unto the work of the Lord. You know what's important to God is his house. Amen. His house is important. He said in another scripture, I'm trying to remember the scripture, but in another scripture in the Old Testament, he said, you go to your sealed house, and he said, this house lies waste. I'm glad our house isn't lying waste here this morning. I'm thankful, and I know that many of you are blessed here today financially. And when we do our part, amen, God will be with us, and he will fill us with the Holy Ghost when we ask him and we believe him. How much more will he bless us and give us good things, amen, when we ask him? That's scripture. Isaiah 54 in verse 17. I know this is short here this morning, but I'm running out of notes. Isaiah 54 and 17. I'll give you a few minutes here to get to it. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon. Everybody said no weapon.
No weapon.
Come on now. You need to say that with faith in your heart. No weapon.
No weapon.
No weapon. How many of you have ever had something come against you in your life? Amen. How many of you are still here this morning? All right. Praise God. That's good. I'm glad you lifted your hand. Amen. I'm still here this morning. There are so many weapons that have been formed against me in life, but I'm still here this morning. And we need to consider this, and we need to recognize that God is with us. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It's not going to prosper. It's not going to flourish, because there is a rebuke of the Lord, a parameter, a confinement that God has put against any weapon that's formed against us. And every tongue, everybody said every tongue, that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Praise God. And we could probably change out that word condemn to the word rebuke. Amen. It doesn't matter what comes against us. There is a certain limitation that God has placed upon it. And it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of a God this morning? Amen. Let's stand together right now. Amen. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Right. Praise God. Praise God. We're supposed to be above and not beneath, Scripture says. Blessed and not cursed. Amen. Lifted up and not put down, even though we are put down at times in life and we suffer and we go through things. But praise God this morning, there is ultimate victory. Ultimate victory for everyone that serves Him and lives for Him and believes His word in faith. Let's pray together right now, because I know there are some here this morning that are facing difficulties in your life right now. I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. God knows, and God is with us, and we need to stand upon that foundation, upon that statement of our faith. Praise God. Lord, I pray for these that are here this morning. Come on, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. In our weakness, you are strong. In our lacking, Lord, you do not lack. Oh God, you can put the sun in the sky. You can help us in our present situations. Touch every family. Touch everyone that's here this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.